And my hope is that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart are pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. So the text for the sermon today comes from the gospel reading that Pastor Gertner just read. I want to specifically emphasize two verses, though. The first and the last verse, verse 36 and verse 44. Let me remind you. But concerning that day and hour, no one knows. Not even the angels, nor the Son, but the Father only. Therefore, you also must be ready. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. So far, our text. So, a happy new year to each and every one of you. We begin the new year of the church today with this first Sunday in Advent. Advent, a season leading up to Christmas. Advent literally meaning coming. Expectant waiting in preparation for the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As John the Baptist declared when the Jewish leaders asked him what he was doing, he declared, "I am a voice of one calling out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord." For John's faithful readiness, Jesus said this about John the Baptist, "Among those born of women, there is not one risen, has no one risen, anyone greater than John the Baptist." John the Baptist was ready for the coming of the Lord. Are you ready? Are you faithfully awaiting the coming of the Savior of the world? Are you spending every single minute of every single hour that you are awake in anticipation and faithful, hope-filled readiness? I'm not either, if I'm truthful with myself. And if you're honest about it, I suppose the coming of the Lord may actually cause you a bit of worry. You know, I've said this time and time again, "Come, Lord Jesus, please come quickly." But in my mind, I might be saying something like, but not before that dream vacation I have planned. Or not before my children get married. Or not before that graduation. Or not before that wonderful Christmas I have planned. Oh, the irony in that. Or does Advent, the coming of the Lord, actually stress you out in your own mind's eye? What will it be like? Will I be part of those swept away or those left behind? And which is the good and which is the bad? Will it be violent? Will it be full of destruction? If we look at our text today, I can see how this may cause some concern for many of us. No one knows the day, so there is no warning. He is coming in an hour that you do not expect, like a thief in the night. Why did God use that analogy of his coming? His glorious coming is likened by a robber coming in the middle of the darkness of night. I thought the baptized children of God were to look forward to the day of Jesus coming. I do not look forward to the day I get robbed. When my Suburban was stolen, it was not a good morning. And then hear these words from Jesus just before our text that was written or read. Immediately after the distress of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. Then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then all the peoples of the earth will mourn. When they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven, with power and great glory. Whoa, wait a minute. Where's the hope in that message? All the earth will mourn? What's going on in this text? Sun darkened, stars falling. We just started the season of Advent. The trees up, the lights, the wreaths. We just lit the hope candle. I'm not feeling a whole lot of hope in this text. So what's going on? well, a whole lot is going on. And even though it may seem like there is not any, let me assure you, there is gospel goodness in this text. Sometimes when we look at things that seem to be the worst, God is working a great good. I preached a month and a half, or about a month ago, about being still and knowing that God is a God in control. And if you recall, I mentioned that I saw God. It took some time of being still, but I even saw God in the loss of a job. God has a plan, and I'm happy to announce that I start a new job tomorrow. God is good all the time. Thanks be to God. But in these texts today, even though they seem to speak of such terrible, destructive things, they actually are describing two good and glorious days when you look at them through the lens of Jesus Christ. The first day, the one described before our text, where the stars are falling, where the sun stops shining, where the heavenly bodies shake, where all the people of the earth mourn. What day was Jesus describing to his disciples when he spoke those words? He was speaking of a very, very good day, a Good Friday, when he would die for the sins of the world, a day that on that day must have seemed like the end, a day of mourning, but it was a day of beginning. A day when all the earth mourned, until 3 days later, on Easter morn. Jesus' second coming, when he rose from the dead, and he conquered sin, and he conquered death, and he conquered the devil. And then what about the day Jesus described? That second day, that day that comes like a thief in the middle of the night. What gospel good news is in that day? Well, that day is the last day. We call it Jesus' second coming. I may call it his third. Christmas, Easter, and Judgment Day. Just as Good Friday does not seem to be that good if you do not believe in Jesus, trust me, the last day will definitely not be that good if you do not believe in Jesus. And what must we do to be ready for this day? Tell me, Pastor, tell me. You do nothing. Jesus did it all. You just need to be still and know. Know that he is God. Know that you have a certain hope in the promise that he has made to you. So if that's the case, then why all this talk of Jesus coming in the dark of the night like a thief? Well, because it's true. First, he will come at a day we do not know or expect. But it is also true that he is coming to steal us away, to steal us away from sin, to steal us away from death, to steal us away from the power of the devil that scowls fierce though it will. And how do we stay ready for that good and gracious day when Jesus comes to steal us away from that unholy Trinity? We continue to gather to receive his good gifts. We continue to be nurtured, hopefully daily, in Bible study and in small group study. We continue to serve by loving others because he first loved us. That is the theme of this Advent, this season here at Our Shepherd. We are going to focus, and we are going to try our best not to be distracted as we eagerly hope, certainly hope, with confidence and say, "Come, Lord Jesus." I want to encourage each and every one of you to gather more, to to receive God's good word and his precious sacrament. If you come every Sunday, then please come on Wednesdays to Advent. If you come every Wednesday to Advent, then please come Christmas Day, even if you came on Christmas Eve. Come with that certain hope to gather and receive his goodness. I also want to encourage you to be nurtured. Nurtured daily in Bible study. If you didn't come to Bible study between service, come early next week and come to Bible study. If you did, please start a daily devotion. I know it's hard. I know it takes time. Or listen to a blog as you go on a walk like I do. Stay in God's word and be nurtured by it daily. And during this season of Advent, and hopefully beyond, purposefully serve others with love. Those who came, the Wolgast and others, to decorate the sanctuary, what a gift of love. It looks different for different people. I don't know how you can reflect God's love to someone, but if you do, there's a pamphlet of letting them know when the services are. Share that good news, that gospel goodness, that hope that you have, so that that last day will not be a tragic last day for others that you know and that you love. We are a people of hope, even when things look the worst, because we can look at them through the lens of Jesus Christ, no matter what the circumstance. I have no better picture of what this hope-filled, joy-filled, eager readiness looks like than what I experienced a few years ago with a dear friend in the hospital. In what would appear by earthly standards to be an absolutely awful, terrible day, my friend Lori Dopke witnessed to me what hope, what readiness looks like. Visiting her downtown in the hospital, she had just been counseled by her doctors. And Mike, her husband, were there. The doctors informed her that they were done. There was nothing more they could do with her battle on cancer, and hospice was needed to begin. And what was her reaction to this news? She said with the biggest grin on her face, "You mean I get to go see Jesus? I'm going to heaven?" She was ready, no matter what the circumstance. My prayer for each one of you and for myself also is that we can have that kind of hope, that kind of peace, that kind of joy during this season of Advent, in all the days that we have remaining, because we can look at them through the lens of Jesus Christ, and we can say boldly and with a certain hope, "Come, Lord Jesus, please come quickly." And all God's people said, "Amen."